The New Science of Physical Health.
So welcome to this teaching lesson. How is it possible to improve your personal health status by 400%? Here's my opening big idea or big domino statement, I like to call it. Most people who use the core scientific principle from the Perfect Health Lesson will see a 400% increase in their health status. Now, if you don't know what the Perfect Health Lesson is, there's one diagram, one framework. It's a one-hour lesson that I teach. And you haven't seen the website that goes along with it, wherever you're listening to this audio, then click on the link. It'll take you to a website. It'll show you the diagram and a lot of content about the Perfect Health Lesson. Let me say that big domino statement again. Most people who use the core scientific principle from the Perfect Health Lesson will see a 400% increase in their physical health status. Now, an extraordinary claim needs extraordinary evidence, and that's an extraordinary claim. So in this lesson, you're going to learn about the single most extraordinary health education claim related to longevity and physical health outcomes that I've ever heard in 40 years of teaching health and physical education across Australian schools. Now, before you get to read it, I want to set up the claim with this critical perspective below. In science, objective truth is rooted in empirical evidence and rigorous methodologies. It's not just made up stuff. What it does, science aims to uncover universal truths independently of my or your personal beliefs. Through systematic observation, experimentation, and peer-reviewed validation, scientific findings establish an evolving framework, so not always staying in the one spot, an evolving framework of truth, refining it with new evidence. In the realm of belief, science relies on evidence, not opinions. Consensus among a diverse researchers worldwide is pivotal in establishing truths in health and medicine. Multiple studies arriving at similar conclusions through rigorous processes boost the credibility of findings, ensuring that robust objective truths in these fields, health and medicine, can be claimed and can be proven. The extraordinary health education claim of a 400% increase in your personal health status actually has a gargantuan, I love that word, gargantuan amount of evidence. The science behind the claim forms what I call the core principle inside the Perfect Health Lesson. So before we get to that science, before we get into it, let me set it up properly. There's one single medical biometric on which expert PhDs from all over the globe, from disciplines that include exercise physiology, vascular medicine, cardiology, open heart surgery, public health, molecular biology, epidemiology, all of these PhDs, many of them, over 100 from all those disciplines I've interviewed on my podcast, The New Science of Physical Health, all of them agree on this one thing. Raising the single medical biometric that I have alluded to, but I haven't gone into specifically yet what it is, raising that single biometric from the bottom 25. So everyone's got this biometric. It's not like blood pressure, but if I was talking about your blood pressure, if I was talking about the number of calories that you burn, those are biometrics. If I talk about your glucose level in your blood, that's a medical biometric. If I talk about your lipid profile, your HDL cholesterol, your triglycerides, and your LDL cholesterol, they're all medical biometrics. The medical biometric I'm talking about, you've almost certainly never heard of, because even though in recent times, medical authorities like the esteemed American Heart Association have put together scientific statement papers about this medical biometric, it hasn't filtered through into the general community of GPs yet, and certainly hasn't filtered into the world of education that I belong to, because I'm an educator, not a doctor. But all of these PhDs that I've spent so much time with over the last decade of my career, said that raising this single medical biometric, which we'll get to what that is, from the bottom 25% for your age and gender classification to the top 2.5%, we'll see an increase of a 400% in a person's health status. This means if you do this, get into the top 2.5% for your age and gender for the medical biometric we're going to talk about, you'll be 400% less likely to die in a given year after you qualify in that top 2.5%. The medical biometric is called your CRF score. And I know from 40 years, four decades of teaching health in a formal education system, that very, very few people that listening to this lesson right now understand the life-changing importance of their CRF score. I'm not going to define it just yet, but it's called capital CRF. We'll get to defining it later. An even bigger problem is that almost no education system in any country that listens to my audio lessons, my program is now distributed amongst 97 countries. Almost no education system in any of those 97 countries that my program goes to teaches the power that the CRF score has to drive down complications from these big four categories. I call them the big four. Complications of excess weight, complications of catastrophic cardiovascular events, particularly heart attacks and strokes, the number one cause of sickness, disease, and premature death. Our high blood sugar, complications from high blood sugar, and complications from a cluster of conditions known as metabolic syndrome. Those four things drive premature death. This is me, because I use the core principle from the Perfect Health lesson in my daily life. I'm now at 38% less risk of a sudden heart attack. And something that is, I won't describe what this means in detail, but something that doctors call or medical researchers call all-cause mortality, all causes of sickness, disease, and premature death. I'm at 38% less risk right now compared to people who don't use the core principle inside the Perfect Health lesson. Now, just to clarify this, when I started out, I have, from the time that I started using the core principle inside the Perfect Health lesson to where I'm at today, which I'll talk about in just a moment, I have driven up my physical health status by 400%. But right now, specifically heart attacks, I'll take that one area, I'm at 38% less risk compared to the average person in the population for my age and gender. As I record this, I'm about to turn 58 years old. My father died of a heart attack at 48 years old. It was sudden, massive, unexpected. His first warning, like 50% of men and women, their first sign of heart disease is sudden death. I was 23 years old when that happened. Today, I'm about to turn 58. So my CRF score is at 46. I'm going to explain it in detail in this audio lesson. But you've got one. You listening to this, you might have one that's 26. It might be 36. It could be 52. But every single person has got a CRF score. Mine is at 46. For my age and gender, that places me in the top 2.5%. I know from looking back at my father's life, his CRF score would never have got above 20. He would have been at the very bottom 25% for his age and gender. And this particular medical biometric, being that low for him, drove his cardiovascular condition, which caused his sudden death at age 46. And I know that because of my 40-year career. Besides being a teacher in that four decades, I spent 7 years, almost a decade, working for the National Heart Foundation of Australia. In this short lesson, I'm going to do a deep dive into this medical biometric and the Perfect Health lesson. I'll share the framework with you, but I'm not going to be able to teach you all of the strategies and all of the tactics that go along with the framework. So here's how I teach my material in the lessons here, as it relates to my work of the new science of physical health. I have an overall framework, and then out of that framework come a series of strategies, let's say five strategies. And out of each strategy, there are two or three tactics. That's how my teaching lessons work. So in this particular lesson, I'm going to dive into the framework, but I won't have time to teach you the strategies and tactics on why you must raise your score and how you can raise this medical biometric, which is has the most influence over all-cause mortality compared to anything else going around. And you've almost certainly don't apply it. Most people don't, listening to this. People who are into health might, and they're deep in the world of the new science of physical health, but that's not the bulk of the community. It's about 5% of the adult community are into really looking after their health and wellness. The rest, no, they're not. And that's just not only my observations, but that's what the data presents. If you do not learn about CRF scores and this medical biometric, if you do not raise your CRF score, you will never create positive molecular and physiological health adaptations. The effect of this, you not doing that, is that your body will experience complications related to any one, two, three, or all four of these four problems: excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events, high blood sugar, and the cluster of conditions called metabolic syndrome. I can guarantee that if you do not learn about CRF scores and the core principle inside the perfect health lesson, if you do not raise this score, you will decrease your lifespan and you will decrease your health span. The science behind this is unbreakable. Shortly, I'll teach you a little bit about hazard ratios. Once I do, you will know why nothing is more critical to your health status than this medical biometric that I've already begun talking about. So let me give you this, and I love the way this definition is lined out. I've spent a lot of time putting this together. I want to define CRF scores. It's the capacity of the human body to transport oxygen. Here's how it works. There's something in your lungs every time you breathe in called oxygen exchange at the alveoli. Now, if you've never heard of alveoli, the common way to express these particular parts of your body, organ if you like, they're the tiny, tiny, tiny microscopic air sacs in your lungs. You sitting here listening to me right now, you have functioning 500 million air sacs, 500 million alveoli. So here's what happens. In the lungs, oxygen is inhaled and diffuses across the thin walls of the alveoli or air sacs that are inside your lungs. The alveoli are surrounded by a network of what are called pulmonary capillaries or capillaries. Depending on where you come from, it's depending on how you pronounce that word. Now, what happens is, so you have a network of blood, these tiny little blood vessels around each air sac. I know this sounds crazy, but there's 500 million air sacs. And around it is a network, around each air sac is a little network of blood vessels. So think about how many blood vessels you've got, way more than 500 million. And what happens is something called gas exchange. Oxygen moves from the alveoli into the blood vessels called capillaries due to something called a concentration gradient. In simple terms, it means that substances like oxygen naturally move from areas where there's a high concentration to areas of a lower concentration. In context of your lungs, when you breathe in, the air sacs, the alveoli, get filled up with fresh air that contains a higher concentration of oxygen. So you just breathe in, and now all of a sudden my air sacs have got a higher concentration of oxygen compared to the oxygen in the capillaries that surround each air sac. This creates a concentration difference or gradient difference. High oxygen concentration in the alveoli and relatively low concentration in the nearby blood vessels. Oxygen molecules move passively across these thin walls of the alveoli into the gradient capillaries until equilibrium is reached, where you've got equal concentration of oxygen in your capillaries and your air sacs. That process in science is called diffusion. The oxygen molecules move from an area of high concentration, alveoli, to an area of low concentration, the blood vessels surrounding each of the alveoli or air sacs until the concentration becomes equalized. All right, what happens then? Once the oxygen molecules enter your bloodstream, they bind to something called hemoglobin, which is a part of red blood cells, allowing for their transport to different tissues and organs throughout the body where oxygen is needed for various physiological processes, especially something called energy production. More on that in a sec. Once oxygen diffuses into the capillaries, it sticks to hemoglobin, binds to it, hemoglobin molecules, within red blood cells. Hemoglobin is a protein in red blood cells that has a high affinity for oxygen. Oxygen likes to stick to the iron ions, so I-R-O-N, ions, I-O-N-S, within the hemoglobin, forming something called oxyhemoglobin. This allows red blood cells to carry oxygen throughout the body. Then what happens? The oxygen-loaded red blood cells travel through the arteries, go to the heart, and then branch from the heart, branch out to various tissues and organs. Oxygen is transported into the bloodstream, primarily bound to hemoglobin within the red blood cells, although a small amount's dissolved in something called the plasma. Then you get the oxygen gets delivered to muscles. As muscles start to work, let's take this as an example. Let's say you've got to go, the lift is out somewhere, and you've got to go up four flights of stairs in a building. You're looking down the bottom of that. If you have a low CRF score, low this medical biometric, which is the most has the most critical influence over your health status, if you have a low biometric, then you look at those stairs, bottom of those stairs, and you got four flights. Let's say there's, 10 stairs in each one. You've got 40 stairs to go up, sharp angle. As you start to work going up those stairs, we call that incidental physical activity, your leg muscles, chest muscles and arm muscles require more oxygen to produce energy, something called ATP. It's a long molecule called adenosine triphosphate. When I went to university, we all ended up knowing by the time we finished university, ATP is basically energy. So when muscle cells are active, they release signals such as something called ADP, adenosine diphosphate, not tri, di, and hydrogen ions. They create a lower oxygen concentration within the muscle tissues compared to the bloodstream. So remember, you've got oxygen now being transported with oxyhemoglobin along the blood vessels, reaching the muscles. You've got a lower concentration of oxygen from adenosine diphosphate and hydrogen ions inside the muscle. The concentration gradient facilitates diffusion of oxygen to unload from the hemoglobin from the blood into the muscle cells, because muscle cells won't work without oxygen. So as you're going up those stairs, if you can't deliver enough oxygen, all of a sudden you're starting to get puffed out before you get to the 30th stair. Maybe it's stair number 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Oxygen detaches from the hemoglobin, diffuses across the capillary walls and into the muscles, where it participates in something called cellular respiration to produce energy, or ATP, adenosine triphosphate. Now, regarding CRF scores, it's the maximum amount of oxygen that the body can utilize during intense physical activity, planned or unplanned. Like walking upstairs because the lift is out, that's unplanned. You've got to get to the top, you've got a meeting, you've got to get up there, you've only got a minute or two. It's influenced by the efficiency of the respiratory and cardiovascular system in delivering oxygen to the tissues, the capacity of muscles to utilize oxygen, and the ability of hemoglobin to transport oxygen. So, enhancing your CRF scores involves improving the efficiency of these systems. That's a basic synopsis of what is involved in the science of your CRF score. You got it in anything that's planned or unplanned physical activity, you have to deliver oxygen. Now, if you have a low CRF score, it's harder to do any physical activity. People go, well, I'll just be lazy. I won't do any physical activity. Then I'll sit in my seat all day. I'll drive to work, catch public transport, and I don't have to worry about that. Well, that's the problem. Let's go on, because there's a problem with that when it comes to the big four: complications of excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events, high blood sugar, and metabolic syndrome. Big complications that lead to sickness, disease, permanent sickness, permanent disease, and premature death. We'll come to how that's all linked together.
Thank you for joining us in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. We hope you have found the education content informative and enjoyable, and will share it with others. In today's episode, Shane made reference to a brand new project that will be released in early 2024, called The Perfect Health Lesson. If you would like to find out more about this project right now and get access to its pre-release, then go ahead and visit the website in the show notes for today's episode.